make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is J.R. Moore coming to you live from deep in the mountains of the Missouri Ozarks on Sunday, the 18th day of January 2009. Welcome to the John Moore Show. Well, today I have a very special guest, my friend Tim Spencer. I'll tell you a little bit about Tim. Tim is a veteran of the United States Navy Submarine Corps. Now, here's something many of you don't know. Every person on that, on any submarine, the least intelligent person on a submarine crew has an IQ of 120. An IQ of 120. That's entry level for any person to be qualified to be on a crew of a United States Navy submarine. Tim's a very bright guy, and I count him as a friend. We're working on a couple of projects together. The one we'll be talking about primarily today will be the new website that he started. He's a webmaster, among other things. Very talented gentleman. We come back from this first break. We're going to be talking about this new website and also about Tim's U.S. Navy service. Tim has agreed to go public. We'll be doing a show in Canada in the not-too-distant future about a map he saw. Classified map he saw while conducting classified work for the United States Navy. Very fascinating stuff. He's the first Navy veteran that's agreed to go public with this information. And his work on his website is nothing short of phenomenal. Absolutely. It is a live call-in show. We'll be taking your calls at 800-313-9443. Lots of things going on this past Monday. My friend Steve Quayle interviewed a Republic Broadcasting a talk show host, Greg Evenson. That show, which I think is still posted on Quayle's website, has caused a lot of discussion, shall we say, for a very good reason. Very disturbing information. And we could talk about that also if people like to. First break coming up. We come back from this break. We'll be introducing Mr. Tim Spencer. Stay tuned.
You've got an inside corner on the truth, thanks to John Moore and the Republic Broadcasting Network. To talk to John Moore live on the air, call 1-800-313-9443.
All right, back, ladies and gentlemen, back. This is J.R. Moore. It is Sunday, the 18th day of January, 2009. And without further ado, Mr. Tim Spencer, are you there, sir?
Yes, I am. Good afternoon, John.
Good. Good to be here with you. Tim, this new website, when did you first have the idea for it?
Actually, about 2 weeks ago.
Really? That recently? Okay.
Yes, sir. And the reason was because I went looking for some preparedness information for farms and ranches. And I could find virtually none.
Really?
Yes, sir.
Well, that's an important area for preparedness, and you're addressing what might be called a niche market. What we need to give this at, of course, there's a link from my website to your new website, my website being thelibertyman.com, but let's get the address for your new website out there. What is that place?
It is World Wide Web, www.ruralsurvival.info.
Ruralsurvival.info.
Yes, sir.
It's only been about a year or two ago I found out that what a blog is, or a web blog. As it turns out, I started writing one without knowing that's what I was doing back in 1999 with 400 or more than 400 entries. And Tim, you and I have agreed that I will write a blog for your new website, and I've got my first entry on there. I've just about finished editing the second entry. What are some of the features of your new website going to be?
Well, the primary feature, the thing I like the most about it, is the blog. I went with putting a blog on the site for two reasons. My primary reason, probably a selfish one, was to learn more. I want input from other people and ideas from other people that I don't have access to. The second reason, I guess we call more of a philanthropic reason, I wanted everybody else to be able to get that information too. Therefore, the more contributors we have to this blog, the more information there will be, and hopefully it'll help everybody.
Well, that sounds like a worthwhile goal, and it sounds like an achievable goal. The Internet is just a phenomenal tool for us to use. And so you have a rural situation yourself. Tell us a little bit about that, if you would.
Well, sir, I live in Salem, Missouri, or actually just outside in Dent County, Missouri. We've lived here for about 20 years. We're about as rural, well, we're fairly rural here. There are some places more rural where I think they actually have to pipe in daylight. But we just got 24-hour law enforcement about 4 years ago, possibly five. Basically, where I live, if you want something done that most people would expect to be automatic in cities as far as services go, you've got to handle it yourself. If somebody's
stealing
your cattle,
you become your own fireman, your own policeman, your own paramedic.
Absolutely.
Well, that's true. Once you get away from these towns and cities, that's true in a lot of the United States, especially west of the Mississippi. And there's a lot of rural areas in the east of Mississippi, too, but it's more commonly encountered west of the Mississippi. Are you doing any agriculture, raising any animals, anything like that?
Right now I'm just raising horses only. I had a heart attack about 4 years ago, and I had to give up the fish farming and the sheep and the goats, and right now it's basically just horses and chickens.
Horses and chickens.
Yes.
Okay.
Chickens for our own use and the horses for pleasure.
Okay. Well, it sounds like enough to keep any man busy, whether he's had a heart attack or not. Well, this is great. It's a well-done website, very professionally, a good, nice professional look about it. It looks like it'll be easy to navigate. You've got a weather service on there, I understand?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
We have access to the forecast and current conditions to over 60,000 locations worldwide. There is a classified advertisement site on there, which actually just went active this morning because so few people know about the website. There aren't any entries there yet, but I hope there will be some tonight. And we've got a special subjects index that correlates to the blog where articles can be posted in a static form as in a regular web page vice a blog. Two reasons. One, make it easier for people to find. Second reason is more content means higher ranking by the search engines, and that's what all this is about, is to get the word out to people that need to understand what's going on.
Now tell me, Tim, is there any cost involved for people to look at what you're producing there?
Absolutely not. Everything is 100% free.
Okay.
My daughter owns a web hosting service, therefore there's next to no cost for me, and there's no reason to try to make money off of this.
Well, fantastic. That's a question people will have. Well, let's do a little segue here and go into back in the days when you were doing classified work for the U.S. Navy.
Okay.
The period of time we're talking about was in the sometime in the 1980s. When was that?
If we're talking about the map, John, that would be 1986, 1987 time frame.
Okay. And where were you stationed at the time?
At the Enlisted Personnel Management Center in New Orleans, Louisiana, in the Hebert Building, third floor.
And was access to that building restricted?
Yes, sir.
And why was it restricted?
To be honest with you, John, I don't really know. There was not that much classified material there. There was some, but I believe it was just standard Navy protocol. The security seemed about the same as in any other place.
But regular Navy personnel themselves with in uniform just couldn't walk in the door if they chose to?
Well, no, we had to show an ID card, but that was
right.
About it.
Right, okay. Now, you're doing this work there. You're engaged in classified work in this building, and you walked across the hall one day, and what did you see?
Well, there was a big map of the United States, and I saw it actually two or three times. Most of it was colored in with a yellow highlighter, or I'd say probably half of it was. about the third time I saw it, I asked one of the people in the office what the map was all about, and he basically told me, don't worry about it, but if you ever get out of the Navy, you want to live in one of the white areas. And one of the white areas was right here where we live in the Missouri Ozarks in Denton County.
Now, Tim, you're from Florida.
Yes, sir.
Your wife's from Florida.
Yes, sir.
You don't like snow, do you?
No, not really.
You had no intention or desire to move to Missouri before you saw this map, did you?
No, I didn't. I had no desire whatsoever to.
And I had lunch with you and your wife the other day, and she really misses seafood, and she misses Florida, doesn't she?
Yes, she does.
But you moved to Missouri because of the map.
Yes, the map and what I was told by the Master Chief that told me I wanted to live in one of the white areas. I got out of the Navy about 3 years after that on a medical discharge, and what he said really stuck with me, and therefore we moved to one of the white areas.
Now, Master Chief would be, what, an E-8 or E-9?
E-9, sir.
E-9, equivalent of a sergeant major in the U.S. Army.
Correct.
Okay. Well, these are the guys that run the Navy and the guys that run the Army, the E-9s, when it comes down to it. And they know some stuff.
Yes, they do.
So you made this change. This is a pretty major lifestyle change, moving from a subtropical climate of Florida to the hills of Missouri. I've since found out, you know, you're about I've lost track. I've interviewed now about eight or so Navy veterans, six of which were submarine veterans, who all saw the same map that you saw. And they all made the same decision that you made, which was to make their retirement home in the Arkansas-Missouri Ozarks, because the Navy regards the Arkansas-Missouri Ozarks as one of the known safe havens when these oceans come up.
Yes, that's correct, John, but I'd like to clarify one thing. When I first saw the map, I did not know it had anything to do with ocean levels rising. My immediate
It wasn't clearly marked on there, was it?
No, it was not. This was not something that was printed. This is a map from of the United States, from an atlas or something like that, that somebody had taken the time to sit down and color in with a yellow highlighter.
Okay. I think what might have happened, it sounds like that may have been somebody who was at the briefings. And I've interviewed a number of these submarine veterans who were at formal briefings where a map was presented to them. And it would be a natural thing to do to leave the briefing without a map and then want to make your own, wouldn't it?
Yes, I would think so.
Well, obviously it would be. Given the important nature of large portions of where literally 150 million people live being underwater, that's pretty significant. And, of course, you would want to try to duplicate that if you could.
Absolutely.
Well, Tim, so you and your wife are living there in the Ozarks. You've been there more or less 20 years, raising horses, raising chickens.
Yes,
your children are pretty much all grown up now, aren't they?
Yeah, all three are grown. Married. I have three grandchildren who make my day most of the time. I get to see them a lot, which I'm very thankful for.
Well, you're blessed. You have your grandchildren nearby?
Yes, I do.
Well, that's a blessing. Mine are 2,000 miles away, so that's a true blessing to have them nearby. It really is. Well, Tim, I intend to make you a regular entry on this show for maybe just 5 or 8 minutes a show, so people can get an update on what's going on with the new website. And, of course, you and I will be talking privately. In fact, I want to get together with lunch for you one day later this week, depending on your schedule and my schedule. That's about right now, Tim. Thank you for calling in.
Well, thank you for having me on your show, John. Greatly appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.
diamonds are forever. They are all I need to please me.
All right, we're back. Ladies and gentlemen, we're back. This is J.R. Moore. It is Sunday, the 18th of January, 2009. If you're a new listener, you need to check out my website. You can see my photograph, read my bio, thelibertyman.com. Got our first caller, Jeff from Massachusetts. Jeff, are you there, sir?
Oh, yes, I'm right here. How's it going?
Good. Did you hear Mr. Spencer talking about the map?
Yes, and in fact, what was flashing in my mind was Boston, the city where I live near.
Well, and Boston is toast, my friend, as is every city on the East Coast.
Well, that's it. In fact, one of my favorite books is called, it's by John McTiernan, and it's called God's Final Warning to America. Now, John McTiernan was the founder for the International Cops for Christ, and he's a criminal investigator.
Okay.
So whenever I see criminal investigator, I always pay attention to somebody who has that kind of a background. And the main thing about the book is, He talks about three sins that cause havoc on a country: abortion, any kind of bloodshed, innocent bloodshed, homosexuality, and carving up Israel. And basically, he documents all the times that our political leaders have done these kind of activities, and we get hit with the whammy. So,
well, it's an interesting thing to observe, isn't it, Jeff?
It is.
Okay.
But that's not my main comment. I figured I'd put out one of my favorite books. But the I'm getting ready for that trip on Tuesday because who knows? I mean if it's a day trip, great. But I hope it is.
Here's something people need to be aware of.
Yes.
On the 20th January, we're inaugurating a Muslim president.
Yes.
And here's the deal. Well, the board just really lit up. Got a bunch of callers. Ask any Jewish friend of yours the following questions.
Yes.
Is there anything you can say, anything you can do, any document you can sign that would make you not be Jewish? Well, they could be a practicing Christian, but they're still Jewish.
You're right.
The same thing applies to this new president. He's Muslim. He's a practicing Christian, but he's Muslim. In addition, out of the 1 billion or so Muslims, there's probably several million Muslims who believe it's the right thing and the proper thing to do to execute any Muslim who practices Christianity. They routinely do that. They routinely do that.
You're right.
In other parts of the world.
You're absolutely right. You're on target. I mean they. Basically, they get considered an apostate, and that's it. They're done.
On the front page of Drudge, you can read where the FBI is keeping track, expending resources, keeping track of white supremacists and that kind of thing, which there's nothing wrong with that.
You're right.
But on one hand. On the other, what about the millions? And there are literally millions of Muslims who think it's the right thing to do and the proper thing to do to execute a Muslim who is practicing Christianity.
You're absolutely right. You're spot on.
These are perilous times, my friend, absolutely perilous times.
No, John, you are absolutely right. And as a simple closing comment, which is as far as Obama's concerned, I mean you have Muslims that lie for the religion of Islam and make treaties just so they can get to where they're going to, and then they break the treaty when they feel they got enough strength to conquer a nation or a land or a territory.
It sounds like what we did with the American Indians a century ago, doesn't it?
Yeah, John, you're absolutely right. Hey, John, it's been great talking to you. God bless, and have a good one.
Okay, thank you, Jeff.
Bye.
And we've got John from Tennessee. John, are you there, sir?
I am. Just to add to what the previous caller said, that's called a hudna, or a hutna, where they make a treaty and then recuperate and replenish their troops and ammunition and then go again. They don't care if it takes 1,000 years. John, the reason I called is to let you know that the information in your DVD is getting out to the mainstream, One of the radio programs here in Nashville, 90,000 watts, played a tape of the X-Files and told about John Moore, former, he called you a Navy SEAL, that was concerned with global warming and Nibiru, and he mispronounced it. Anyway, he was basically...
He's trying. He sounds like he's trying, but go ahead.
Well, not that you need me to defend you. I called in and suggested to him that I hook the two of you up and he could see just exactly who you were and what you stood for. Made it clear to him that you had done more for this country by accident than he could do in a lifelong attempt. And needless to say, John, he turned down the invitation to have you on his program and get the truth out. So I wanted to let you know that people are out there. I know how he got your information. I've actually got a website that I set up and linked him to the website and apparently got on RBN and found John Moore. The word is getting out, my friend, and I want to thank you for all you've done. Okay. If it hadn't been for you turning me to Ralph Epperson's book, The Unseen Hand, my eyes would not be as open as wide as they are. So thanks.
Well, thank you, John. We appreciate the comments. Break coming up. Stay tuned, everyone. Be right back.
John Moore is as close as your telephone. Call him right now. 1-800-313-9443.
All right, back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. This is Gerald Moore. It is Sunday, the 18th day of January, 2009. We got a word full of callers. We'll go right back to the callers. First is my friend and the co-author of the book, Emergency Survival Communications, Mr. Tom Harrington. Tom, are you there, sir?
Indeed. I'll keep it short, John. I just want to tell you that your DVD and book just absolutely outstanding, and everyone should avail themselves of this great information. And the one I've got is out on loan and doing the rounds.
Well, I encourage people to make copies. There's no copy guard on it.
Yeah, as long as you make copies. I did make a couple copies, but
good.
They need to purchase it and support you, and because the DVD is just, you know, super outstanding. I can't well done and easy to understand. It gets across to everyone. And of course,
here's what I'm finding, Tom. It's waking people up. I wrote my paper on this topic in 2005, and it had a lot of success. No need for panic. This movie, however, is far more successful in helping people understand the true nature of this threat.
Well, there's no doubt about that. My copy. I did make a couple copies, but I try to get my friends and people who are interested in this to support you by purchasing it. Don't know how successful I've been.
I appreciate your support, Tom. I got electric bill and food bills like everybody. So
that's right, exactly. And
okay,
you can't do it on paper money alone. You need support.
Right,
it's an outstanding work. And you should be congratulated for it.
Well, I appreciate your support there, Tom.
Yeah, so with that, I'll let someone else get on.
Okay, thank you, sir. Well, before we get to our next caller, I need to tell you about Freezer Guy. Visiting in Texas, I believe, this weekend. Freezer Guy and I got our communications kind of cross-wired, but he is in Texas this weekend doing some speaking, and everybody who gets a chance to see him and hear him will get a lot out of it, and I encourage you all to do that. In the meantime, perilous times are certainly upon us, and having a stock of freeze-dried food will give you peace of mind. It absolutely will give you peace of mind. Freeze-dried Guy is running a special on strawberries and bananas. A case of strawberries, two cases of bananas, that's a total of 372 half-cup servings of those two fruits for $500.76, shipping included, right to your doorstep. Now, be sure you ask for the free Aquamira Escape and Evasion Military Water Filter. This is something you can go in your bug-out bag to keep it in your vehicle with you and help you get from point A to point B. Crisis, God forbid there be one. Here's how you get a hold of Freeze Dry Guy. First of all, of course, he has a website. It's freezedryguy.com. Pretty simple, freezedryguy.com. There's a link from my website, The Liberty Man, thelibertyman.com. Here's the order line, 866-404-3663, 866-404-3663. If you need a consultation, talk to him about what you should be getting for your family, your loved ones. This is the number to call for a consultation, 530-265-8333, 530-265-8333. Give him a day to get back. I think he'll be traveling tomorrow. He's in Texas today. Give him until about at least the 20th, the day we inaugurate the Muslim president, before you try to make your calls. The website, of course, works 24/7, and that's not an issue. Some excellent articles there that he wrote. Freeze Dry Guy and I have some common military heritage. We both served in the 12th Special Forces Group at the same time back in the 70s. So check them out, and you'll be very glad that you did. Without further ado, let's get to our next caller, which is Carol from Missouri.
Hello, John.
Hi, Carol.
Yes. I live in McDonald County in Missouri, and we have a problem here, and it's called Jane, Missouri, with the Walmart bunker down there.
Really?
Yes. I don't know.
That's where the Walmart bunker is. What's the name of that town?
Jane, Missouri.
Jane, like the woman's name, Jane?
Yes.
Really?
And
so what's the problem with the
Well, it has got computer system in it that could run the government.
Well, they got the money. I mean, Walmart Incorporated is bigger than a lot of governments.
Right, right.
So,
but
of course, it's got
to... It's located in our county, and I'm very unhappy about it.
There's nothing you can do about it, Carol.
I know. But we're prepared as far as freeze dry goes. We've had picked out a couple places we can go if we have to leave home. We're supplied with everything that is necessary at this point. But
okay.
With that there, many people don't realize that that bunker is there, and it's going to cause a lot of problems if anything happens. The schools have been told that Al-Qaeda, which I don't believe there is an Al-Qaeda, but that they are aware that our schools are here. They're told that if the emergency comes down, the kids will be locked in their schools. If the parents try and come and get them, that they will be told go home, that their children are safe in the schools.
Well,
so,
I live in Missouri too, and once you get away from these cities, every family has firearms. I wouldn't want to stand in the doorway of that school and try to stop angry parents who are armed from getting their children. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't take that job.
Yeah. I agree, but they lock the doors. They lock them right now. If you don't realize that, if you go to school, they lock them now, and you have a hard time getting in.
Well, protecting the children is the right thing to do on one hand. Locking children up and keeping their parents away from them is a violation of all kinds of laws.
I would say, too, but they're told that we have an emergency. I didn't know this until yesterday. There's an emergency director that assigned this region and from the State Patrol, and he has gone around speaking on this. So
that would be with the Highway Patrol for that troop, whatever troop that is down there.
Right, yeah.
Right. That's part of SEMA, State Emergency Management Agency, SEMA.
Yes,
State Emergency Management Agency.
Yeah, and we've got one hired here in our McDonald County, too.
And most counties, if they have the budget, the smaller counties, they'll double up. And typically it would be somebody with the sheriff's department will get a secondary assignment to be the director of emergency preparedness.
Right. Ours was, and then we have a change of from Republican to Democrat. And so this Republican has been given a job that really can't constitute a full-time job, but he was appointed. So we're
sometimes I'll see a fire chief get that job, and it's not a standalone job. It's just a secondary duty.
Right. That's what we think, too. But we're stuck with him because they appointed him. They did not elect him. They appointed him. So
and he probably has no specific qualifications at all, does he?
Not really. He was on the sheriff's department. But
so
of course
he went through the police academy. Okay.
Yeah. And of course he's lazy.
Well, that's better than nothing.
Yeah. Well, he was in that job capacity when he was in the sheriff's department.
Well, then he's probably more qualified than, because I know people in those positions in the city of St. Louis, for example, who have no prior experience whatsoever. They weren't even a cop. So
right.
you're better off there, Carol, in some places.
Well, the only thing, he's got a bad, there's things he has done in the past that have not been very good legally and in other sheriff departments. So we have a person in that job that should not be there. But we're stuck with it.
Well, hopefully he'll straighten up and things will work out there, Carol.
Hopefully. But thank you for taking my call.
Okay, thank you, Carol. We appreciate it. And we got Clint from Texas. Clint, are you there, sir?
Hello.
Go ahead, Clint.
How are you doing today?
Good.
My question is I got in late in your program, and I was wanting to know if you had a website where this map may be posted.
No.
okay.
I have an article titled No Need for Panic that I sell on my website for $5. It has the map. And my DVD that we were talking about, Global Warming, What the Government Isn't Telling You, has the map. And now there's about 20 or more versions of maps of North America after the oceans come up posted on the Internet, mostly done by psychics. Now, my map is not done by psychics. My map is the revised, highly revised map that I put together by working with these Navy veterans, like Tim Spencer, who we were talking to. And that's my map, is that work that came from working with the Navy veterans who saw the real classified map at the classified Navy briefings.
Okay.
So that's the deal there, Clint.
All right.
Okay.
Well, good. Well, thank you very much. Appreciate your time.
Okay, Clint. And we got Dan in Minnesota. Dan, are you there, sir?
This John?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Hi, John. This is Dan from Minnesota.
Thank you.
And I just want to say I did watch your video on climate change.
Yes, sir.
It was interesting, very interesting. I'd encourage others to get it as well. I've been in preparedness, in essence, for the last year or so. I certainly hope I have more time to get prepared before the economy, you know, really gets bad. But it's worth it. It'll definitely challenge a person's thinking. It's well worth people getting. So I just wanted one question to ask. Another caller had called in. He asked about, or he'd set a website that gives you your ASL above sea level. And also,
right. What's
the minimum above sea level you want to be when this happens? I'm in the Mississippi River Valley. I don't have to go too far from here to get several hundred feet higher. But, I might be in trouble.
Okay. Well, there's a number of websites. Google Earth, for example, that's fairly common and fairly well known. It's kind of fun to work with. Google Earth can help you find the elevation above sea level most any place in North America, I believe.
Okay.
And we'll just leave it at that. Here's the quandary some people find themselves in, Dan, and I was talking to a gentleman about this the other day. He lives on the East Coast. His employment and his kind of keep is going to keep him there. And here's the situation he's attempting to pull off. He's trying to figure out how close he can get to the new coastline and still be safe, and pick that for his retreat. My response to him was, even if you're above sea level and won't be in danger from the oceans and tidal waves, you're going to be very close to 100 million people, that many of which, many millions of which, are going to become refugees. And that's a place you don't want to find yourself.
That was just mere comment I was going to make. If this many people are dislocated, you're going to have complete social unrest and shooting and fighting just to survive.
Well, the word anarchy means absence of government.
Yes.
That's what the word anarchy means. Anarchy could be a very, now down here where I live in the southern part of this county, we have what amounts to anarchy because there's no government in our daily lives, and we get along quite well. Anarchy can be a quite calm and quite peaceful situation on one hand. On the other, anarchy can be complete chaos and social disruption and madness.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's more likely to be the case. Millions of people who are on the move with the clothes on their back, half a tank of gas, and desperate for potable water and food and shelter.
Yep.
That's chaos. That's a prescription for disaster.
Yep. I totally agree with you. It'd be probably tens of millions of people perish.
And that's very likely, too. The first drink you take of bad water is a one-way trip to a dysentery that's out of control and dehydration and death. Unless you can get to adequate medical attention and clean water. The first drink you take of bad water, that's the road you're on. And that's what's going to kill people, will be dysentery and dehydration more than anything else. It takes a long time to starve to death. It really does.
Yep. What is the minimum above sea level a person should be?
The Navy says 400 feet, and that's pretty minimal. Because these tidal waves, people want to use this Japanese word tsunamis for some reason these days. These tidal waves could easily be many hundreds of feet high.
Okay.
And the new ocean levels will be anywhere from 100 to 400 feet above where they are right now, which is primarily what the Navy's talking about. So you need to get away from these coastal areas. They're very dangerous. They're very dangerous for a lot of reasons. And just the water is only one of the dangers. Millions of refugees is another part of the danger.
Yep. Okay.
And you're very close, Dan, where you are, Minnesota is very close to the Great Lakes. Now, the Navy says, not John Moore, the Navy says the Great Lakes will become one vast new inland sea stretching all the way up to Hudson Bay, that the Great Lakes will join together to be one Great Lake stretching all the way to Hudson Bay.
And the video actually shows...
You look at a map, and you look at the size of the area I'm talking about. It's really scary.
Your video actually showed it from basically covering most of Wisconsin.
You're right, Dan. Every Navy veteran I interviewed, without exception, everyone said that they were told in the classified briefings that Wisconsin will be gone, just like Florida will be gone and underwater.
And you're not only talking millions of people in the cities in Wisconsin, like Milwaukee and Chicago and all those, but all the food and the land that's so productive.
The grain belt will be mostly intact for the most part. We got a lot of calls. Let's wrap this up after the break real quick. Thank you, Dan. We're back. Let's try to get these calls in if we can. Here, we have three on hold. JG, California. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, John. Real quickly, when is this approximately supposed to take place and how long a time from right now?
Okay. The continuity of government planning has to be finished in 11 months.
Okay.
That's some, and things are falling apart real quick if you're paying attention, but they've given themselves 11 months to get everything in place.
To go to Denver and set up that and all that, huh?
That's sure. That's a huge logistical nightmare, actually.
Right. But the water thing, when is it supposed to start hitting, and why is it due to, because of the plates are changing? What's going to happen?
Oh, boy. You need to call next week, JG.
Yeah, I will. Let me call you during the week, John.
Yeah.
All right, thanks, John. Let me get off to the other callers.
Yeah. John from Florida. Go ahead, John.
Hello, John.
Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, actually, right now I'm making a copy of my first copy of your video that I received from you. Down here in South Florida, or even we have a hurricane, it'd be impossible to get out of the state. When we have a hurricane, it's bumper-to-bumper traffic. You'd have to have two extra tanks of gas just to get out of state. But if anybody's
impossible.
Around the coast,
the last 48 hours, it's impossible, but 72 hours before you can make it.
Yeah. Anyway, if anybody has the means to maybe buy a used sailboat, you know, 25, 30 foot or up to 40 foot, and just have it ready, because that's going to be your safer bet than being in your vehicle.
If you're skilled, if you got those skills, yeah, that's right.
Anyway, and should have portable water filters and freeze dry and you know, need to prepare.
Absolutely.
Anyway, thank you.
Thank you, sir. And we got Myron in Pennsylvania. Go ahead, Myron.
Yes. I'm just curious. They went from global warming to the term climate change. And isn't this all based on the global warming, the melting of the...
Okay, global warming.
And that's just to just get another question out.
Go ahead.
Is there a coming war with Iran that's essential to as part of the plan for this? I'll leave it there. That's the question.
Okay, thank you, Myron. Global warming is a deception to conceal what's really going on. Boy, with 2 minutes left, what can I say? I need to watch my DVD, Global Warming, What the Government Isn't Telling You, to learn about how the deception works and why they're doing it. War with Iran, highly, highly likely. Everything's in place. It's been in place for some time. I don't know what the timetable is, but going to war with Iran, it seems to be a done deal in the not-too-distant future. We got new listeners, obviously. I need to help bring you all up to speed. Check out Professor McCanny's website. There's a link from my website, thelibertyman.com. There's many, many hours of radio shows from Professor McCanny. I highly recommend his books. There's literally hundreds of pages that you can read at Professor McCanny's website. A link from my website, thelibertyman.com. These earth changes, abrupt climate change, are real. Global warming, as put out by Al Gore and NASA, is a deception to convince you that something else is going on. But rising ocean levels and climate change is real and in our face. And the government is getting ready for it, as they've been doing for more than 20 years. Put this in Google. You want to see what they're doing? Put this in Google. CIA and the word Denver. And you'll find out the CIA's press releases that they're moving their entire domestic division right now, not 4 or 5 years in the future or 10 years in the future, right now from Langley, Virginia to Denver, Colorado at a cost of $20 million. Now, I'm not making this up. You can see their own press releases and read them for yourself. Plum Island, the Plum Island Animal Research Facility, is being moved from the East Coast to Kansas right now. That's it. We're out of time. I had fun. I hope you all had fun. You all be safe out there. God bless America. Talk to you next week.